Of Taking Stock Live. We're bringing you all the latest business news and telling you how it will affect you and your money. Now, don't forget to head over to the website, KalilaReynolds.com/newsletter, once this video has ended to get the newsletter straight to your inbox twice a week. I can't continue to emphasize how important that is. So happy to see all the early warmers up here. Where's everyone joining us from tonight? Let me know in the chat what part of the country, what part of the world you are watching from. And of course, if you haven't done it just yet, hit the like button and share this video with a friend. Now, here's what's coming up on tonight's show, followed by What's Hot in Business. Come on, let's get this money.
So you've all heard of the New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ, and of course, our very own Jamaica Stock Exchange. But did you know that the Trinidad and Tobago Stock Exchange, TTSE, is the largest stock exchange in the Caribbean? We'll find out what kind of investment opportunities the TTSE has to offer from CEO Eva Mitchell. And the analysts weigh in on the latest market developments. Main Event Entertainment Group is reporting a whopping 1,133% increase in net profit for the 9 months ending July 31, 2022, when compared with the previous year. And overseas, the Dow Jones has recorded its worst day since the start of 2022, tumbling over 1,000 points. We'll discuss. But first, here's What's Hot, brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart. Jamaican delivery company QuickCart is now in Trinidad. Formerly known as QuickPlate, the delivery company announced last week that it now offers doorstep delivery service from restaurants and convenience stores in West Trinidad. The company said that in the coming months, it will be expanding to other regions of the Twin Islands. It will also expand to include delivery from electronic stores, supermarkets, pharmacies, and other businesses. The company began its Jamaican operations in 2016 with delivery service from 5 restaurants. Since then, QuickCart has increased its partners to over 130 restaurants and stores. iCreate has received a boost in capital in the form of a $100 million loan from Astronomical Holdings. Astronomical Holdings is a hedge fund owned by attorney Abel Don Foote. The deal will allow the fund, through its subsidiary AHL SPV, to convert the debt into equity. Foote said the decision to invest was due to its visibility of iCreate's growth prospects from the impending purchase of Visual Vibe. iCreate will also be conducting a rights issue to raise additional capital. The company recently set September 26 as the date that investors have to be a stakeholder in iCreate to take advantage of the rights issue. Productive Business Solutions Perpetual Cumulative Redeemable Preference Shares closed last week. The company is reporting that the offer was oversubscribed. PBS was offering 1 million shares in a USD tranche priced at $10 per share, with quarterly dividends at 9.25%, and 150,000 shares in a JMD tranche priced at $1,000 per share, with a quarterly dividend payment of 10.5%. Members of the general pool for the USD offer will be allotted the first 3,000 shares and 37% of the balance, while the JMD general pool will receive their first 2,000 shares and 74% of the balance. Speaking on Taking Stock, PBS said the proceeds will be used to fund its growth plans. A security breach has put millions of Uber users' data at risk. The transport company discovered last week that its computer network had been breached when the alleged hacker posted taunting messages on the company's internal messaging system. This led to Uber taking several of its internal communications and engineering systems offline. The breach appeared to have compromised many of Uber's internal systems. A person claiming responsibility for the hack sent images of email, cloud storage, and code storage to cybersecurity researchers and the New York Times. Uber said it is investigating the breach. However, sensitive user data like trip history has not been compromised. The company's stock price dropped 6.5% following news of the hack. What's Hot was brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart. This segment of Taking Stock is brought to you by Bulwark Insurance Agency, insurance made easy.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I know I'm not the only person who gets hype and dances to the song. Taking Stock song have a vibe. I need to build a rhythm and just voice a tune on it one of these days. Right here. And I know you guys have heard me DJ before, right? You heard me on the Shaggy tune. I want them. I want them. 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 Could do my own Taking Stock song. You know? I'm a woman of many talents, okay? All right, let me shout out some of our early warmers today. Who do we have? The first comment goes to LeVar Henry, always there, always waiting, checking in from Cool Cool Mandeville. Big up yourself, LeVar. Rashawn, I think that's how you pronounce this name. Rashawn says, Jamaica, let's get this money. And then we have Maurice who says, big up Kalila, hailing you from St. Thomas. I got jealous last week when you gave my good friend a shout out last week. I said, I don't want to be left out this week. So let's get this money. So big up yourself, Maurice. And then we have Ingrid checking in from Bull Bay, St. Andrew, another regular on the program. Big up yourself, Ingrid. And also Dania from, or Dana checking in from Goshen, St. Elizabeth. So let me know as well where you are joining us from this evening. It's an international show today. We've all heard of the New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ, and of course our very own Jamaica Stock Exchange. But did you know that the Trinidad and Tobago Stock Exchange, the TTSC, is actually the largest stock exchange in the Caribbean by market capitalization? We'll find out what kind of investment opportunities they have in Trinidad and Tobago on the TTSC. And we're joined now by CEO Eva Mitchell. Hi, Eva.
Hi, good night. How are you? And thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I'm great. I'm happy to have you as well, because ever since you were appointed last year in April, I said, you know, I want to have Eva on Taking Stock on the show. And now here we are. So congratulations on your appointment, even though it's been more than a year now. How have you been settling in?
It's been a transition, but a good transition. But and thank you for having me. I must say I was also boogie into your intro. I love it. But thank you for having me. I'm excited about this interview and this segment. And I'm excited to tell the world, to tell Jamaica about the Trinidad Stock Exchange, Trinidad Tobago Stock Exchange, and what we have to offer.
Well, give us some background on you. Tell us a little bit about how you got started in this industry and, you know, how you came to be CEO of the TTSC.
Sure. So I was pretty much always involved in the financial industry. You know, as you get older, you are faced with different opportunities and different, an array of decisions to make. And, you know, I spent most of my career in the financial industry. So I've worked at local banks and international banks in a Trinidad context. And I had the opportunity to work at the Stock Exchange. And in my previous role at the Stock Exchange, I managed the market operations. I oversaw the market operations and the business development aspect of the exchange. And I did that for about 4.5 years. So I was pretty much very much immersed into the culture of the organization, into the way the local, regional, and international markets operate, being part of the asset management side while I spent my time in the banking industry. And pretty much, you know, I got to understand the strategic vision of the stock exchange, not just from a front runner level, but also, you know, from a regulatory perspective. And for me, it sort of brought so many different parts of the financial industry together for me. So I have a pretty good understanding of how all those parts sort of gel together and work together. With me being appointed the CEO of the Stock Exchange, now I am the one that's charged with, you know, execution of the vision of the company. And, you know, I'm happy to say that we are very focused in a number of different things, a number of different initiatives that will lead towards market development, not just on a national level, but also on a regional level, on an international level. I would like to position the exchange so that, you know, we become a gateway to the region. I would like to position the exchange so that we become a facilitator of market development. And our strategic vision pretty much speaks to that. Just to give you some insight as to what our strategic vision involves.
Right.
We are working. Sorry?
No, I was just saying, right, yeah, I want to hear more about that vision indeed.
Right. So we are looking at, like I said, bringing the stock exchange to a point where we are a facilitator. And with that, we would want to ensure that we offer, an array of financial products to the stock market, to the wider market, that being not just equities, but we do have other markets such as our mutual fund markets. We have our bond market, both denominated in TT currency and USD currency. And we are looking to also expand our product offering into other products and services such as exchange traded funds and derivatives. And we're also developing the custody side of our business. So, when we talk about stock exchange, we are not just a stock exchange that is a facilitator of trading across our electronic platform. We also provide back office activities as well. So we provide custody activities and any safekeeping activities that you may so desire. So we are pretty much developing ourselves to be a one-stop shop within the financial industry. And in that also, as I spoke about products, we are also looking at expanding our offering in terms of the number of listings that we have on offering to the investors. So similar to the junior market in Jamaica, we are also focusing our efforts in developing our SME market. And our SME market is one that facilitates listing of smaller companies. And while there are some inherent benefits in listing in or going public, such as, better valuation for your company, you have increased visibility, and there is a proven track record of most companies that, when you list on the stock exchange, you improve the financial performance because you give that level of transparency and visibility that investors so require, right? But more than that, the Trinidad Tobago Stock Exchange have worked very closely with the government of Trinidad Tobago, and we have we are now in a position to offer companies that list on our exchange a 10-year tax incentive period or tax incentives, where if you list your company for the first 5 years, you pay zero percent tax. And then for the 5 years after that, subsequent to that, you pay 50% of whatever the
prevailing. So very similar to what obtains here
Correct.
In Jamaica. And this is
Correct.
For your SME market, which would be equivalent to the junior market here.
Exactly. So it's really...
So what's the cap on companies that want to list on your SME market? How big or how small do they have to be?
Sure. So from a TT perspective, companies that list on the SME market must have an issue shared cap that range between 5 to 50 million. So you can't go over that 50 million threshold. And pretty much that covers a lot of the SMEs, the companies that are actually domiciled in Trinidad and Tobago. So it's a pretty good offering for a quite a large pool of companies that are already existing and operating within the local market.
I'm just here doing some quick math to see how much Jamaican dollars that is. So that's up to 1.1 billion Jamaican, which is which is about twice as large as, the leeway that you have here, because here the cap is 500 million Jamaican dollars to be on the junior market. So over there in Trinidad, it's about 1.1 billion, which is great. So that gives more companies the opportunity to take advantage of that offer. And that's really awesome. Now, you mentioned in the introduction that the TTSC is the largest stock exchange in the Caribbean, or at least the English-speaking Caribbean, based on market capitalization. But you do have a smaller number of companies. You only have 30. Jamaica has 100 companies listed, and TTSC is not as active as the Jamaica Stock Exchange either. Why do you think that is, that there's not the level of activity, even though you are a bigger economy?
So you're right. We do have the largest stock exchange, we are the largest stock exchange by market cap, and that speaks to the significance of the companies that are already listed. Just to give some more history, we do have about 8 different markets available, and I think I would have touched on some before. We have our equity market that is denominated both in TT and US. We have a bond market dominated in both currencies as well, and we have our corporate bond market, our government bond market as well. We have our mutual fund market, and also we have the SME market, which is equivalent to your junior market. With respect to the level of activity, that we don't see, at least not compared to Jamaica, I think this is because a lot of the investors in Trinidad are pretty much large institutional investors, and these large institutional investors, they pretty much adopt a buy and hold position. So they take up very large positions because there is a level of attractiveness in the companies that are listed on the exchange, which apart from price appreciation, which they would have benefited from, investors would have also, these large institutional investors also benefit from dividend yield, right? And the companies that are listed on our stock market, they have been very frequent and very consistent in terms of, you know, return via dividend payments. So that again makes it very attractive. When you look from an institutional perspective, and an institutional investor looks outward to see, okay, what else? I have TT dollars, what else can I invest in, or what else can I buy? There aren't many options that are available to them. So they pretty much take a buy and hold position. And because of that, that does not allow the security to trade or get that level of liquidity that we would want. But we as an exchange, we are working on addressing that issue. And we're working on a number of different things. One being including, or at least being a facilitator, where companies are now encouraged to list on the exchange, and we are focused pretty much, as I mentioned before, in the SME space, making it attractive enough and a pretty good value proposition to actually list on the exchange. And that is something that I do expect to take off, and for it to actually attract the same level of enthusiasm and the same level of market acceptance that is experienced in your local market, in the Jamaican market. So I expect to see some activity there, and that will naturally address the liquidity concerns, right, that we are seeing now.
In addition to that, we have a question from a viewer. Natoya says, what are any plans to promote retail investors coming to the market?
And I was now about to touch on that. So we understood that there was a desire for retail investors to participate more in the stock market. And we saw a gateway, to provide that level of access through technology. So what we did as an exchange was provide a trading platform, so online trading platform, where investors who would like to participate in the market could do so real time from the comfort of their homes 24/7. So whenever there's a buying opportunity or a selling opportunity, you can do so, and you don't have to actually go through a broker to ask the broker to do it. And I know this is pretty much something that your market is familiar with, but we did introduce a similar platform in 2020. And to date, we've had trading on our online platform actually account for up to 27% of our overall trading values, or total value for averaging monthly. And this actually surpassed our expectations. We were actually, our expectations were trading activity on the platform accounting between 5%, but to get
to 27. So this is
Trader
Pro here.
Pardon?
So this is something similar to JTrader Pro here.
Pretty much. So you have access to our electronic trading. You have access to the market. You have an access, you know, not just to trade, but as a viewer, because we appreciate that some investors will want to, you know, study this, the company, study the market data, and get the information that they need before they make an informed investment decision or move. So we pretty much put all that information on our platform. That information is also available on our website, but we know everybody has their phone and is very techy. So, you know, that information is on our platform so that that information can now be used towards, you know, making that investment decision and getting you more involved in the markets. And this is also another step that we are taking towards financial inclusion, right? So, We are, I mean, there are a lot of other activities and a lot of other initiatives that we are undertaking to ensure that liquidity is at the level that we would want it to be, and to also ensure that, you know, we develop the market so that it makes us another attractive market within the region. I mean, apart from us developing technology and also developing our SME market, ensuring that there are more products and services and there are more platforms available. When we talk about liquidity, we want to always know or have a comfort in that when we buy a security or when we buy stock or take a position in a stock, we are able to sell it off. I mean, I think that is any sort of concern or desire that any investor would want. You would not want to hold onto a stock and not be able to sell it when you so desire. And to do that, the exchange is looking at ways that we could now improve our market structure and add market players or market makers within our market structure that will step in and provide this level of liquidity for certain securities. So, for example, one particular security is listed on our exchange and an investor wants to get out of the security or wants to buy the security. There is a structure that exists not just on a regional level, but also on international levels where you know, the exchange works with a dedicated person along with that listed company so that there is some sort of structure or an organized way where the investor is able to, you know, move in and out of positions easily without having to worry about how liquid this particular security be. So it brings that level of comfort to the investor. It brings that level of market confidence and investor confidence that we need that will bode well and allow the market to thrive in a progressive manner.
Right. So since you've implemented, well, not just you, but it would be an administrative thing, a policy decision, and these decisions have been implemented to attract more companies to the TTSE, especially on the SME market. Have you seen companies expressing interest and looking to moving towards IPO?
Yeah, that's a very, very good question. Yeah, so we have only gotten that that policy approved by our government early this year. So since then, there has been an increased amount of interest. We have been getting a lot of questions coming to the exchange. I know most of our brokers are actually working with these companies and talking to these companies about listing on the exchange. I think you would appreciate that listing on the exchange is not an overnight decision or a process. Right. It has a very long gestation period. So the important thing is that the discussions are happening. And like I said before, I think with everybody being on board and everybody recognizing that there is benefit in these incentives and recognizing that there are benefits, especially in this type of environment, in listing on the exchange and looking at equity as an alternative to debt and how that impacts positively on your overall financial and capital structure. You know, I think there is it's only a matter of time before, you know, the market takes off. And also from our main market perspective, you know, when we look at, you know, the intergenerational wealth and also the transition of wealth from one generation to to the other. And also when we look at just the need for patient capital at this time, especially coming off of COVID, you know, I think even the, you know, companies that may not fit the SME markets and who may be bigger companies, I think there is also an incentive and also an attractiveness of the equity market to those larger cap companies as well. So I also expect to see some activity there, some improvement there. Mm-hmm.
Let's take a few questions from the viewers right now. First one coming from Chris, and Chris wants to know what percentage of the TTSC is based off commodity stocks?
Commodity stocks. So we have at least 8 different sectors. We have securities that are listed across 8 different sectors, including the financial sector, the manufacturing sector, the energy sector, trading and distribution sector. We don't have a commodity sector, but we do have an ETF that covers, that's listed, it's called the CALIP, and that is primarily dominated in the energy industry and a few other sectors. So it's a nice mix. Maybe this is a good segue for me to talk about, Kalila. You know, the stock exchange is also, as part of our wider market development initiative, we are looking at ways of increasing our investor base through expanding or strengthening our partnerships with not just our regional partnership, but international partnership. As a matter of fact, we will be hosting a conference, our very first conference in October or next month. The purpose of the conference is not just to bring, you know, business minds together and start, you know, that conversation around development. But the purpose of the conference is for us to celebrate our 40 years as a stock exchange. So the exchange was founded in 1981.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. I mean, I have to congratulate the people who were before me, who would have built the exchange to what it is now. But we are celebrating 40 years. And to do that, we would be celebrating with all our stakeholders and all our participants that would have assisted us and supported us along the way to get us to where we are now. And in that conference, while we celebrate our anniversary, we would be making some major announcements. And one thing that I'd like to just you know, say on this show is that, you know, because it relates pretty much to the question that your viewer addressed, how are we going to increase the investor pool? And how are we going to make retail investors, you know, give retail investors access to the exchange? So at the conference, we are going to, as a region, along with the heads of the other regional exchanges, we are going to make an announcement about a strategic partnership, right? So that in itself is a testament and a demonstration of our commitment as a region in developing the wider market, making sure that, you know, institutional investors can benefit. It's something that the wider region can benefit at a retail level, at a institutional level, you know, at all levels. And that can only be done when we work together. If we work together as a region, we're much, much stronger as a region, right? So I look forward to the conference. I look forward to making those announcements, and I look forward to the tangible outcomes that will that we can benefit from after the conference.
Well, I just saw Stephen Gooden from NCB Capital Markets saying the same, that he also looks forward to it. So good to see that you're on, Stephen. Some more questions from our viewers. Natoya wants to know, and I saw a few other people asking the same thing, how can Jamaicans invest in the TTSC? What would that process be like?
Sure. Okay. So first of all, anyone that wants to invest in the TTSC has to open up a brokerage account with a broker that is licensed and registered in the Trinidad market. We have about 8 brokers that you can choose from. I would say that we do have two brokers that operate both in the Trinidad market and the Jamaican market. So at the end of the day, it's whoever you're comfortable with, but you would have to open an account with a broker. You can also benefit, or you can also access shares through cross listings, through getting positions in those shares that are cross-listed. And you may be familiar with the Massey cross-listing that happened a few months ago.
Yes.
And then prior to that, we had GHL that was cross-listed. From a Trinidad perspective, we have about five other securities that are part of our cross-listed sector or cross-listed index that any shareholder could benefit from, or any investor can benefit from. And I believe you would have seen a lot of activity with respect to Jamaican companies that are now participating in the Trinidad market and vice versa by way of mergers and acquisitions. So I believe as the markets become more integrated, not just from a financial services or a financial industry perspective, but from a retail and a commodity perspective, I do think that we would see more cross-border activity and more cross-border opportunities for investors to also benefit from.
Next question comes from Lucian Morris, who wants to know, what return on investment percentage does TNT Market give on a year-on-year basis? And of course, you have to give the disclaimer that past performance is not an indicator of future performance. But perhaps you could tell us what that was like last year.
All right. So for last year, we would have reported at least a 13% increase in the index. 13.13%, right? This year, and that was from a good improvement, actually a significant improvement from the year before. But we know 2020 was the year.
Oh, yeah, coming off of COVID. I mean,
so try not to use that as any sort of indicator of real performance, right?
But that was actually better than the main market of the Jamaica Stock Exchange did last year, because the main market on JSE didn't do that well last year.
Yeah, we were actually pretty good. I mean, in terms of trade value, for 2021, we were at 1.4 billion TT, and we actually hit our highest. So that was our record performance in terms of transactions and trade value. So we did pretty well in 2021. For some context, when we look at 2019, being pre-COVID, we were actually 51% above 2019 level. So a pretty good performance for us. When we look at 2021, August 2021 to August 2022, we're actually 30%. So year to date, as at August, we're actually 30% higher in terms of actual trade value. So we are pretty much on an upward trajectory with respect to market activity. I do think that this will continue as we become more immersed in our strategic objectives and strategic focus with respect to the building out of the SME market, offering more products, strengthening our relationship, offering more platforms with respect to online trading, with respect to platforms that we would want to provide, not just from a public trading perspective, but from a private market perspective, and offering more products with respect to, as I said, ETF trading, derivatives, and index trading. So we just to kind of sum it up, we're pretty much focused on being that exchange that can be considered a gateway to the wider region. And also a gateway to the international market. And to do so, we are looking at what we can offer, how we can improve on what we offer, and then how we can just generally meet the needs of the market. And not doing that singly as a Trinidad Stock Exchange, but also doing it as a region.
I'm going to take this last question from Daniel. And Daniel says, a missing piece on the TTSE, I believe, is liquid hard currency assets, USD, and assets with payouts in hard currency. Is that a focus of the TTSE in the future?
I think that is a general issue. And it's something that I know we are addressing as a country. From a stock exchange perspective, we believe the evolution of digital assets and the evolution of tokenization and the evolution of digital currency is something that will address that. And we are making efforts towards, you know, addressing that and addressing same. I don't want to make any premature announcements now, but rest assured, this is something that is a very important part of our strategic agenda. And we know from a currency perspective, the currency market globally is one of the largest markets that one can participate in. So it's something that we are also looking at. And again, being that gateway, we're looking at addressing. So yes, it is part of our strategic agenda. And you'll be hearing some announcements where that is concerned in due time.
Okay. When did you say the conference is coming up?
October 21st.
Next month right here. And anybody can participate? How do you register?
Well, it's actually just for now, because it's a celebratory event. It's really specially invited guests. But I'm sure that we can make some arrangements for it to stream live. And we will share that information with you. I have no problem.
Okay. Well, congratulations again. All the best. And we look out for hearing more of those. Well, we look out to hear TTIPOs coming soon.
Yes, yes. Thanks again for having me, and have a good night.
Thank you, Eva. And for our viewers this evening, it is time for your poll question, and it's actually about the JSE, and it's funny that I mentioned TTIPOs or TTSE IPOs, because our question for this evening is, do you think the JSE, the Jamaica Stock Exchange, is becoming too IPO-driven, and there's no real trading taking place in the market outside the IPOs? So comment, you can take our poll on Twitter or on YouTube. Yes, people only want IPOs. No, there are many other opportunities. I don't know. Or you can just leave a comment below as well. Do you think that the JSE is becoming too IPO driven and there's no real trading taking place outside of that on the market? Take tonight's poll. We're going to leave it there for this segment. Up next, we've got your market recap, and the analysts are standing by.
This segment of Taking Stock was brought to you by Bulwark Insurance Agency, insurance made easy. Time now for your market recap. The JSE Combined Index was mostly flat last week, gaining just over 800 points. 122 stocks traded across the main and junior markets for the week ending Friday, September 16, 2022. 52 advanced, 58 declined, and 12 stayed the same. 134 million shares changed hands on the Jamaican dollar market, valued at $915 million. One-on-one Educational Services was the week's most traded stock. It took up 13% of market volume, with people buying and selling 18 million shares in the company. The stock opened this week at $1.95. Express Catering traded the second highest volume, with people buying and selling 11 million shares in the company. It opened this week at $5.55. And Jamaican Teas rounded out last week's most traded, taking up nearly 7% of market volume, with 9 million shares trading. The stock gained 4 cents to open this week at $2.53. Now let's see who had the biggest gains for the week. Main Event was last week's biggest gainer, up 22%, to open the new week at $7.95, following their latest financial report, which shows a 1,000% increase in profits. First Rock Real Estate Investments USD was the week's second biggest gainer, also up 22%. The stock gained 1 cent to open this week at 5 cents US. And rounding out our biggest gains, Epley 5% Preference Shares is up 18% to open Monday at $23.90. And on the losing side now, 138 Student Living was last week's biggest loser, down almost 19% to open Monday at $5.56. Cygnus Credit Investments USD was last week's second biggest loser, down almost 15% to open Monday at 11 cents US. And rounding out the biggest losers was Cygnus Real Estate Finance USD. The stock fell almost 14%, closing the week at 11 cents US. Over on the Trinidad and Tobago Stock Exchange, the composite index lost 3 points last week. Massey was the most traded stock. It opened this week at $4.80 CT. Prestige Holdings was the market's biggest gainer, up almost 7%, to open this week at $6.40 TT. And on the losing side, National Flour Mills fell 9% to open the new week at $1.44 TT. It was a rough week in the U.S. The Dow Jones fell 4%, the S&P 500 dropped 5%, and the Nasdaq lost almost 6%. Over at the pumps, motorists saw a slight increase in gas prices last week, following a 25-cent gain in gas prices. On the other hand, the cost of diesel fell another $4.50. In foreign exchange, it took an average $152.74 Jamaican to purchase one U.S. dollar last Friday. That's 5 cents less than a week before. And on the crypto markets, Bitcoin fell below 19,000 last week, losing almost 8% over the past 5 days after a 15% increase last week. The cryptocurrency was trading at $18,688 on Monday. It was the same for Ethereum, which lost 20% in the past 5 days after a 6% increase last week. The cryptocurrency was trading at $1,307 on Monday. This segment of Taking Stock, the Analysts, is brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart. Disclaimer: this is not intended as financial advice. Please consult a licensed financial advisor before making investment decisions.
Welcome back. It's time now for the Analysts, and I'm joined by investment research and quantitative analyst at JMMB Group, Arlen Morrison, and founder and CEO of Profit Jumpstarter, Keisha Bailey. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Where's Good Arlen? Morning.
Thank you for having
there
me.
We go. This is your first time on the show, right, Arlen?
I love it.
No, I've been here before, but it's been a while.
Ah, okay. All right. My bad memory. What were you saying you love, Keisha?
The disclaimer.
Oh, you know we have to issue the standard disclaimer. I get tired of saying it, so I said, let's just record it and keep it playing in the show. Yeah, Stronglink says, good evening all, logging in from Manor Park. Let's get this money, but no money now, Ron. Fed pushing rates higher and the Russian stock exchange, Dow, JSE main market, etc., plummeting further. We're going to talk about it, of course. But we'll start off with some positive news because Main Event Entertainment Group is reporting 1,133% increase in net profit for the 9 months ending July 31, 2022, compared to the previous year, 2021. I suppose this could partially be expected, Arlen, given the year that was, you know, coming out of COVID and entertainment events were canceled or suspended. So tell us, give us the highlights from Main Event's results.
Okay, so I'm going to share my screen. Please bear with me. My computer is a little slow. All right. So it's not just recovery from the COVID period that really stands, but when you look at the Main Event results, actually, for the 9 months ended in July, they would have reported about $1 billion in revenues and $104 million in profit. But that revenue target beats what they did completely for 2019, when they did $1 billion and about $1.05 billion and then $758 million in the 2020 financial year. So they've not only recovered the losses that they would have generated during the COVID period, but they actually reported the strongest quarterly revenues in the company's history, as well as the best profit they've ever reported since listing during the quarter as well. So in the third quarter, they had revenues of $605 million and net profits of $123.8 million, which was up 147% and 332%. So they would have stated that this was due to just increased activity in its core business, as the industry, as we expected, saw a strong return to the outdoor events. So the first quarter, which would have ended in January, they would have posted a loss of about $41 million, which was around the time when we had the Omicron variant taking hold in Jamaica. So there was a curtailment in entertainment activities. And then we saw where the government reduced the curtailment measures, and the quarterly results exploded in the third quarter.
That's really amazing. I see a comment here from Ashane saying it was expected that Main Event was going to rebound, but not this awesome. It was on fire. So what accounted for that tremendous increase? Because you said they did even better than 2019. So is it that people, in your estimation, just, you know, tired of coop up inside and now they're out? Or did Main Event actually go out there and find new revenue streams?
Well, so unfortunately, we didn't get that level of detail in the quarter results to state exactly what business line drove that result. It just simply stated that it was just core business and the strong return in outdoor events and lifestyle experiences. But what it does indicate that the company, whilst buckling down and tightening its belt during the COVID period, was definitely working to ready itself when the government would have allowed a return to entertainment activities to immediately be able to meet the needs of their clients and then have the revenues grow to the extent that we saw.
Yeah, I know they're busy, busy over there at Main Event. I've been trying to reach Solomon for the longest and man, just busy, just blow me off, but that's okay. Christopher wants to know, I don't know if there was any indication of this in the numbers. Do these numbers include their alignment with SVL?
Yes, so they're supposedly doing a joint venture with SVL after SVL would have purchased around a 10% stake in the company last year, but we never get that detail. So this is hopefully, given the questions, the company sees this and adds a little bit more detail to their quarter results so that people really get a firmer understanding of what drove the core results.
And then LeVar is commenting that with Christmas right around the corner and push for more events, I expect to continue seeing an increase in their profits. Did you have additional slides to share, Arlan?
Yes, I just wanted to point out that after the results dropped last week, that we would have seen a significant increase in the stock price, where it would have moved from about $5, the mid fives, all the way up to $8 subsequently. So the market definitely would have reacted positively to the news. The only downside with Main Event is that it's very tightly held by insiders. The top three shareholders own approximately 90% of the company. So you're looking at a daily average volume over the last year of around 45,000 shares. So it's not the most liquid stock, which is unfortunate.
And we did note just now in the market recap that Main Event was the number one performing stock last week. And now you can see why, right?
Definitely. The market definitely reacted to this positively. But they do have a lot of space to, in the future, raise further equity if they so desire, even debt. They have a very low leverage and they have very strong cash generation and high profitability. So they definitely would be attractive for additional capital raise. So hopefully, if they decide to scale, that might mean additional shares being offered to the wider market so more people can participate more regularly.
Keisha, let's look overseas now. The Dow Jones, and you heard a strong link allude to it earlier, the Dow Jones has recorded its worst day since the start of 2022. It tumbled over 1,000 points. That was it was down 1,200 points, actually, and that was the worst day since June 2020, and that happened after this hot inflation report. So give us the update. What's going on in the U.S.?
So it continues the never-ending saga around inflation in the U.S. So what we think about it, we think how high will inflation go in the U.S. because no matter what's been happening with the Fed and their need to increase interest rates, we find that still inflation is a problem and it persists. So the most recent inflation report was out at 8.26%, and not a very high number. And so investors continue to think, you know, does the Fed really know what they're doing? Do they have a firm handle on inflation, or are they kind of chasing it and trying to cool something that's already run very far from them? So what happened last week was that the inflation number came out, and because the Fed had hiked interest rates by 0.75% two times before, the estimates were around, or the market consensus was around, the fact that maybe inflation will come down, but it did not. Still high inflation, because as much as the Fed is trying with interest rates, we still have that problem where, because of the supply chain problems from last year, they still are filtering through the global economy, and we're feeling the effects of that, especially with grocery prices. So because of the hot inflation report, we had markets tumbling, all major markets in the US tumbled that day. It was a sight to behold. Money to be made that day, because there were trades that I did that were fairly profitable, because there was just panic, and just outright panic like this, you're usually able to capitalize on that. Tomorrow is going to be another Fed day. The market.
What happens tomorrow?
Tomorrow, next Wednesday, we're anticipating another rate hike, same 0.75% again. So we'll see what that looks like. It's coming out at 2 p.m. Eastern. So depending on what the read is, you may have another bout of volatility, another leg down, which, again, everyone is watching and waiting to see. Does the Fed finally have a handle on inflation? Which is hard at this point, because they're chasing, because I personally believe they waited too late to start hiking interest rates. Remember way back last year when we were talking about inflation, we said that the Fed was coming out saying, oh, you know, it's transient, it's not here to stay, just because we're coming out of the pandemic. But it's still here, still struggling with inflation. And so a lot of investors have lost confidence. They're sitting on the sidelines with their money, holding cash, or many of them are thinking about more defensive type strategies right now, until the Fed can kind of figure out what they want to, or how to accomplish bringing down inflation.
But you mentioned just now that there are opportunities even in events like this, in times like these, and that you actually made some profitable trades on that worst day ever. So what type of position, what do regular investors, people, you know, who are in the market right now, what do we look out for tomorrow? What do we do? What type of play do we start to, how do we position ourselves?
So there are different things, right? There are some strategies you can look at, option strategies for the more sophisticated type of investors. You can look at those and doing those trades to take advantage of declines. There are also leveraged ETFs, that's a new thing. So you can look at those as well. And some people just kind of go into more defensive type strategies. Maybe they hold on to the more short-term kind of deposits, or they may look into bonds and see what's there, or they could just go into, like, you know, your consumer staples kind of thing and kind of hide out there until this period of volatility passes. And so what are the strategies, depending, right? So David's saying get those puts ready, right?
You know, speaking of that, let me just tie it into local markets. So the JSE had been promising short selling forever from at least 2018, 2019. I remember them talking about it. And they actually, it's about to happen. I don't know exactly when, but they are preparing for it. And they're offering a course on short selling on Thursday. So you guys, if you're interested in that course, it's going to be taking place on Thursday. I think it's virtual. Contact the JSE for more information. And I will be interviewing them here tomorrow night at 8 o'clock live on YouTube. So we'll be talking about short selling and getting an overview of what it is, how you can do it. And of course, for more information, you take the full course, which is on Thursday afternoon. So stay tuned for that. Arlan, do you monitor the US markets at all?
Yes, we do. We would monitor the US markets because, you know, they're saying whenever America sneezes, we'll catch a cold.
So what are your thoughts on what's happening there right now with inflation and the market reactions to these inflation reports?
Well, I concur with Keisha, where there was definitely a sentiment that the regulators probably weren't taking a proactive approach to managing the inflation and started their policy movements a little bit too late. So there is a strong expectation of another increase. I guess you could look at it like an early warning sign is that FedEx would have stated that they're expecting a $500 million miss in the revenue targets because they're seeing a considerable decline in the movement of packages. So you know that the consumer spending is a significant portion of the US economy, and that since COVID especially, a lot of the consumption being done now is online. So when you see a company like FedEx coming out and saying that, boy, they've seen a material decrease in their business globally, but specifically the US, then it probably is an indicator that the US economy is still weakening. And then with the inflation concerns, you would see the results of the stock exchanges falling because people are naturally very concerned about the future at this time.
Yeah, yeah. And I said, speaking of what I was speaking of earlier, the short selling course, David commenting that Cygnus Day is Thursday, along with JMMB Group and Proven AGM. He says, no time for JSC short selling course. That's the same challenge I'm having, actually. I really wanted to attend, but I'm already booked for Cygnus Day on Thursday. Hopefully they'll make it available for replay, even if it's at a cost. So, but if the rest of you are available on Thursday afternoon, you can check out that short selling course. A strong link saying 750 basis points to be expected again by the Fed, which is what you had said earlier, Keisha. So we look out for the news tomorrow and the typical market reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks again for joining us, Keisha, Arlan. Always great perspectives from you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And then David pointing out that Bank of Jamaica's rate decision is next week. So we have our own news to watch out for.
Yes.
All right. Later, everybody. Well, let me not say later yet. I have a few more announcements coming up after the break.
This segment of Taking Stock, the Analysts, was brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart.
Hey, moneymakers, you're not an official part of the family until you have your merch. Visit KalilaReynolds.com/store to order your t-shirt and your mask today. Let's get this money. All right, welcome back, welcome back. That is our show for this week. Thanks for watching. You want to make sure that you, of course, like the video. If you haven't done so as yet, leave a thumbs up on YouTube or Facebook. Subscribe to the channel and let other people know all about it. We spoke about the Trinidad and Tobago Stock Exchange today. If you are from TT, if you're from the Twin Island Republic, leave a comment below and share this with a friend in that country. Also subscribe to the newsletter at KalilaReynolds.com/newsletter. A whole lot of content from us this week. So Monday we had Cygnus Day, well, our interview on Cygnus Day. If you haven't watched it yet, go back and watch that, because Cygnus is talking about alternative investments and their conference comes up on Thursday. Today's Tuesday, we have Taking Stock as usual. Tomorrow, Wednesday, we have two things coming up. Money Moves, JA, and we also have, and it's a really interesting episode, of course, brought to you by Exim Bank's Business Advisory Service. They're going to be telling us all about a new product that they're offering, e-commerce funder, so how you can get funding for your e-commerce-based business. Very attractive interest rate, and it's a fixed interest rate, very important in these times of climbing interest rates. And that's going to be on Money Moves JA tomorrow, 7 p.m. here on YouTube. And then at 8 p.m., like I mentioned, I have that interview with the JSC. It's going to be a live interview, just like how we're live right now. And that will be premiering at 8 p.m. We're talking about short selling and their course coming up on Thursday. And then on Thursday, we have Biz Talk with the Ministry of Industry, Investment, and Commerce. So a lot coming up on the platforms this week. A lot going on, and you want to make sure that you don't miss anything, then you need to be on the newsletter at KalilaReynolds.com/newsletter. Also reminding you that new email subscribers get a copy of my free broker guide, which is about to be updated. So when you see the email come out asking you to rate your broker, please respond to that email. This is how we get data for these resources that we send out. Last year, we had over 1,000 responses to our survey, and that helped to inform the information that we put out there. So please look out for that coming up. I think probably next week that will be going out. And turn on the post notifications so that you can be the first to see everything that comes up We want to help people learn more about money so we can all get this money together. Now follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Kalila Ray, and follow KRM_business news on Instagram. Reminding you, these are the only two official platforms. Anything else you see, I keep getting these messages, like probably 75% of my DMs now are people sending me screenshots of fake pages saying, is this you? And I'm just getting tired of saying, no, it's not me. Please report it. No, it's not me. Please report it. So my official channels at Kalila Ray and at KRM_business news. That's it. No other pages, no backup pages. Report anything else that you see. If you want to connect with the analysts this week, check the description box below for their contact information, and also visit the main website, KalilaReynolds.com, for financial information you can use however you like it, watch, listen, or read. Now tell a friend about Taking Stock, because investing is the new sexy. So let's make it cool to talk about money. I'm Kalila Reynolds. See you next time.
Let's get this money.